And our guest tonight, Jay Allen Danilek. We call him Jeff. We're going to talk about the mystery of reincarnation. Just got this email in from Tiffany. I love these. It says, "Hey, George, was sitting here listening to you talking with your guest about ghosts and how they operate. Well, I know you don't believe in coincidences. So here it goes. My father was diagnosed with cancer in 2004, and I just heard Live Life Like You Were Dying the day we found out. I played that song for him with tears in my eyes. He said he had to find that bull named Fu Manchu. In his 55 years, he has skydived, been a volunteer firefighter, and all-around lover of the adrenaline rush. He died this past June. So sitting here pondering what happened to him in the afterlife, and you play his song. That's great timing." Yep, you're right, Tiffany. Reincarnation, Jeff, do our souls return to Earth time and time again, and how often? I always heard that it's just to reach perfection. You keep coming back until you become perfect enough to reach the stage of heaven. Is that an accurate thought?
Well, I think that's the traditional belief about what reincarnation is trying to do. I personally believe that our reason for being here is not so much to learn as it is to experience. Think of the spiritual realm as a place of thought and concept, and the physical realm as a place of practicality. So what you can conceive of in heaven, you can actually experience here on earth. And that is what we are trying to do as souls, or what God is trying to do through us and as us, is to have an infinite number of experiences in an infinite number of ways.
How come we don't run out of souls to kick back?
Well, I think it's because God is so vast that it's like each soul is a cell in God's body. But you got to imagine that this is a body which is so vast that there's really no end to it. So there's never an end to the number of souls that exist out there.
Like that old Julia Roberts movie where in the guff they run out, they've only got like one soul left or something like that.
Yeah.
Remember that?
No, I'm afraid I missed that one.
Yeah, they did. And if they ran out of souls, that would be it. It would be like the end of the civilization as we know it today. It was a great movie. And of course, they were able to keep it open. They didn't run out of souls.
Good.
But where do they come from? I mean, this is a universal thing. I mean, if we get to a planet of 9 billion people from 6.5 billion, where do the extra 2.5 billion souls come from?
Well, if you consider how many people have lived over any given period of time, and you take that back over the entire amount of time that Homo sapiens have been on this planet, the number of people on the Earth today constitutes less than 5% of all the humans that have ever lived. Therefore, there's plenty of past lives, even if we don't bring any more souls onto the planet, and there's also, perhaps souls coming from other planets that have experienced incarnations in other worlds that have come to this planet and are adding to it. So I don't think running out of souls is ever going to be a problem. There's always going to be plenty of opportunities out there.
Is there a distinct difference between the knowledge of reincarnation from the West to the Orient, let's say?
Well, Hinduism, of course, has always seen reincarnation as sort of a negative. They think that you pick up a good deal of negative karma as you go through this life, and you have to work that off each time. And it's kind of this treadmill where you never really quite work through your debt. Whereas in the West, I think we see reincarnation as a more of an upward spiral, that you keep getting better and better each time you go through it. So there are some distinct differences in the two concepts.
Why do you keep coming back, though, and how often?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that in terms of how often, it really depends on what's going on. If you're trying to experience as many different things as you can, but nothing much is going on for a couple of hundred years, you may have quite long periods between incarnations. Once things start heating up a little bit, like they did in the 20th century, then you might come back a little bit more frequently. As far as why you do it, again, this is to just experience as many different experiences possible in as infinite number of venues and genders.
A couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to talk with Dr. Brian Weiss about reincarnation and to get different theories. Why is it, in your opinion, Jeff, under hypnosis, regression, do some people remember some of those past lives?
Well, I think that a lot of this information is retained on a soul level rather than on a conscious level. And for people that are open to kind of probing that part of themselves, they can access that information. I had a past life regression done on myself a couple of years ago. And it is interesting how you sort of acquire this stuff out of nowhere and just kind of pull it out of wherever it is residing deep within you. And it's really a fascinating experience.
How many lives do you think you've had, Jeffrey?
I was able to identify three, the last three I had. I didn't go further back. Now, you know, you have a time restraint, you know, 45 minutes. You can only go so far. But I did experience three of my most recent incarnations. The last one is a German soldier who was killed in Russia in 1941. One as a history professor in the East Coast back in the late 19th century, I guess, and then also as some kind of a street tough in London back in the early 19th century.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you were able to witness, you know, the crazy stuff like Jack the Ripper and things like that.
Well, actually, the incarnation in London was probably in the early 1830s, 40s, which was 40 years before Jack the Ripper, and it was a very short life that was ended by tuberculosis. Although I do believe that each of these lives impacts my present personality to some degree.
I was going to say, there's got to be some carryover from the different lives into who you are today.
Right. Well, that's what actually got me interested in reincarnation, was that as a boy, I had this tremendous fascination with the military. All my reading, all of my interest was devoted to the military, especially World War II, which is kind of interesting out of the blue like that. And I realized later on that this was a carryover from my my experience as a German soldier who fought and died in Russia. This was an area that I was most fascinated in. I think the most interesting thing was the only shoe I would wear when I was growing up was Wellington boots, big black Wellington boots. Now, who wore boots like that?
Soldiers.
The German soldiers wore the jack boots.
That's interesting.
And just little things like that, that just sort of kind of carried over, you know, and you wonder where it came from.
Have you heard this incredible story of this little boy who believes that he was a World War II pilot and he was able to explain things to his parents that only the pilots would have known? Absolutely incredible story.
Yeah, actually, I did see that. He was talking about, I think he got shot down over Iwo Jima in a Corsair, an Navy Corsair, and he was able to describe what drop tanks were and things like that, the things that you wouldn't think a four-year-old would really know about. This is something that even older people wouldn't necessarily understand.
Yep, and they say that he never saw it on television, so he wouldn't have had that impression.
Right.
So, I mean, there's got to be some real thought behind this process. It's got to be real.
I'm convinced it is. All the evidence that I've seen really suggests that reincarnation is the simplest explanation for what you're seeing in front of you.
The reincarnation, is it accepted by religions? Most religions here in the West?
In the West, no. There are branches, however, of Western religions that do believe in it. Within Christianity, of course, the Gnostics are reincarnationists. Within Judaism, I believe the Hasidic Jews and the Kabbalists are reincarnationists. And within Islam, the Sufi Muslims believe in reincarnation. But you would have to call it a minority belief among the Western religions, for sure.
Does everybody reincarnate? Is this a done deal?
Absolutely. Everybody reincarnates. Now, not necessarily on Earth again. You might choose a different venue. You might try some other place.
Do you become an animal sometimes? I mean, could you come back as a spirit of a dog?
I don't believe that you can go from human to animal because there really is no way to maintain those experiences. You know, animals are not sentient for the most part. They're very instinctual. So you wouldn't get much out of a reincarnation as an animal. However, I do believe that animals may be moving up the chain and will eventually reincarnate as humans.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So the old saying that I was once a frog might be true, huh?
You kiss enough frogs and one's going to be a prince, absolutely.
Let's say there's a family, close people, or close-knit of friends. Is it conceivable that in past lives, that group, they were together as well? Maybe they were, you know, different relationships. You know, maybe one was the friend, another was the father, another might have been, you know, the son, but it's all mixed up in the other lives. But were they always together all the time?
Not all the time. What you're talking about is soulmates. They tend to travel like a pack of geese through different incarnations.
Yes, as a group.
Right. Now, it's interesting. My wife in this life was my niece two lifetimes ago, whom I was very close to, who died in childbirth. And in this lifetime, she is now my wife. So I do believe that there is something to the idea that we tend to travel together to some degree. Not everybody you meet, of course, is a soulmate. There's a lot of people that are new to each incarnation. But those people that you meet that you have an instant affinity for or maybe an instant dislike for may well have been people that you were with in other lifetimes.
Well, what's also fascinating, for example, you talked about your fascination with the military. There are people who can play the piano and they have no lessons. They might have been, a great piano player in the past. Things like that keep cropping up. I've seen stories where someone has a birthmark, let's say, on their face or on their neck, and they believe in the regression that they were somebody else. And you see a picture of that actual person. They had a birthmark in the same spot.
Mm-hmm. That's actually very common within reincarnation stories, especially with the injuries that a person may have sustained in a previous life showing up as a birthmark in the modern life. Dr. Ian Stevenson, who's researched this for 50 years, has got over 3,000 cases on file, had dozens of cases of matching birthmarks. It was remarkable.
Most people, when they talk about reincarnation, always seem to have been someone somewhat famous. Why is that?
Well, actually, that's more of a misnomer.
Really?
Very few cases of people who remember being Napoleon or Cleopatra have ever emerged. Dr. Helen Wambach did a demographic study in which she interviewed over 1,000 people over a 10-year period, and of all of those subjects, only one remembered being someone kind of famous. And you know who they remembered being?
Who?
President James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States. I don't know why you would pick this person, but, you know, that's who she remembered having been, was, you know, President James Buchanan.
Did you see the movie The Green Mile?
Yes, I did.
One of the best I've seen in a long time. It's out there on video. It's an older movie, of course.
Mm-hmm.
After looking at that movie, I'm convinced that John Coffey character might have been the reincarnated Jesus because he came down, he helped people, he had the hands-on feeling. What do you think of that?
I think that's entirely possible. I think also the Forrest Gump character in mm-hmm. Forrest Gump was very much of a Christ-like figure. He was people would come to him for healing. You know, he always had a way of bringing the best out of people.
What do we know about the history of past life regression? I mean, who did that?
Well, that's actually been fairly recent. It's probably only been done in the 20th century. Of course, reincarnation was not accepted in this country at all, really until fairly recently, and even now it's still a minority belief. But in terms of past life regression, you'd probably have to go back to the Bridie Murphy story back in the early 50s, where it probably really became well-known and famous. I don't know if your readers are familiar with the story of Bridie Murphy. There was a Pueblo businessman who had learned to hypnotize people, and he wanted to investigate reincarnation. Mm-hmm. He hypnotized a Pueblo housewife down here back in 1952. she recounted being a woman named Bridie Murphy from Ireland, lived from 1798 till 1865, and she could recall items, household items from that time. She could do little jigs. She had a strong Irish brogue accent when she was under therapy. So he wrote a whole book about it, came out in 1956, and kind of started the whole interest in past life regression and reincarnation.
But what's so fascinating is the belief in reincarnation. It's hundreds and hundreds of years old.
Oh, it's probably one of the oldest beliefs. It goes back to, it predates the Hindus, which probably goes, 500, 600, 700 BC. So this is definitely one of the oldest belief systems beyond perhaps pure animism that exists.
Don't you think science could test this? By questioning people whose past lives were, certain lives?
Well, actually, that's the best way of figuring out whether it's true. It's you take a subject, you get information from them in past life, and then you see if this information can be verified historically. That's what made the Bridie Murphy story so unique, was that they were able to identify some of these people she talked about. They were fairly obscure, and it took a lot of time to find these people, but they were able to do that. Been a number of cases like that since, and that's really the best evidence for reincarnation is the historical verification.
Is science getting involved in this area?
I suppose some of the parapsychologists are, but scientists really don't like to deal with things having to do with the afterlife. They're more prefer sticking with empirical things that can be seen and touched and studied. Not a lot of them, I don't think, are really working on it.
Why does memory not carry on in reincarnation? There's a block put in for some reason, other than regression, of course. Mm-hmm. But maybe the block is natural, maybe it's necessary?
Absolutely, because if you can remember everything about your past life, then you're not really living a new life. You're just kind of continuing the previous one in a different body.
True.
So you really kind of want to wipe the whole chalkboard clean and start over. Although some of the things that you do pick up from these past lives are retained on a soul level. For example, if you had a life where you had to learn patience and you ended up becoming a very patient person, that information, that knowledge is retained on a soul level and transferred into the next incarnation.
Who's at the forefront of investigating reincarnation these days? Is it Dr. Brian Weiss, Dr. Bruce Goldberg? Who's doing it?
Yeah, those are probably the more modern people. Dr. Stevenson is getting too old to continue to do this, so there are a whole new branch of people coming in that are carrying on with this, picking this information up. But I don't think anyone has done as much research as Dr. Stevenson has.
What are we learning about reincarnation and what's its value to us today?
Well, the value, I think, is it explains a lot of things that always were mysteries to me before. For example, I have two sons. Both grew up in the same house, the same school, the same environment, yet two very different personality types. And to me, reincarnation helps me understand maybe that the reason a person does something or doesn't do something is because of what happened to them in previous lives.
I was going to say, are they being punished in reincarnation?
No, not at all. Reincarnation is not a process of punishment. It's a process of experience and growth. I think that the negative things that happen to us are essentially kind of erased once we die, but the positives are retained. And you can turn a negative into a positive. If you were victimized in a life, in the next life, you might be much more compassionate towards others because of what happened to you.
Well, stay with us. We'll continue talking about reincarnation this hour. I'll also take some of your fast blast questions. And the next hour, ghosts and reincarnation questions live for our guest, Jeff Danilek, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Jeff, if reincarnation is real, I think it is, what does that do to the theory of final judgment, reward, or do you think that's just part of religion?
I think that's really just part of religion. I do believe there's a life review in between each incarnation, where you kind of look at what you did and why you did it and understand it. And that's a type of judgment, I suppose, but it's a self-judgment. It's not God judging you. It's you figuring out what it is that you did wrong or what you didn't do that you wanted to get done. So as far as the whole concept of hell and final judgment, however, I think that is just an artificial human creation designed to control people.
Holly from Graham, Washington, wants to know if you've checked into any of the work of Dr. Michael Newton concerning soul groups. I have not. Have you?
Yes, actually, Michael Newton is one of Llewellyn's other authors. He writes quite a bit on past life regression and those types of things. I find a lot of his stuff to be very interesting. Some of it's a little controversial, but all of it's food for thought.
Kevin from Eugene, Oregon, wants to know a little bit more about the Hindus' perception of reincarnation.
Well, as I understand Hinduism, they basically have a cycle or a wheel that you go through multiple incarnations, and there really is no way off of it. You kind of keep going through it almost through infinity, and as you continue to acquire bad karma, if you don't work that off in the next life, you continue to take that with you through each lifetime. Therefore, it's a kind of a downward spiral, which explains the caste system and things like that. That's why they have those things in place, because a person is supposed to be paying for their bad karma by being born into poverty. Buddhism came along essentially as an attempt to reform that system and give people hope of moving out of the cycle of rebirth into what they call nirvana, or their ultimate state of bliss.
And reincarnation is primarily then the soul. That's what we're dealing with, unlike ghosts, which were the personality.
Right. The soul is immortal and eternal and indestructible. The personalities are just a temporary construct of the soul designed to experience things in the world of time and space.
If you had to describe the soul in a physical form, how could you describe it?
Well, I suppose you could describe the soul as the wave on the ocean. God is the ocean, and the individual souls are the individual waves on the surface of it.
But, you know, is it... It's not something you can see. It's not something you can feel.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it? I mean, is it just the energy? I mean, is it in another dimension?
Well, actually, I think it's consciousness itself. Consciousness is a type of energy. And I believe that consciousness is what is used to create everything that we see around us. So everything is a construct of conscious energy. And the soul is a type of conscious energy, which is why it has the ability to create.
Have you always been a believer in reincarnation, or have you been a skeptic?
Oh, no. For years and years, I was a skeptic of it. I was an evangelical Christian for almost 20 years, and I actually used to teach classes against reincarnation.
What happened to you?
Well,
you
always know more when you're ignorant than you do when you learn things. I started to actually move out of the evangelical Christian community. I started reading other ideas, and that led me eventually into reincarnation. Once I began to actually study it seriously, instead of just taking other people's words for it, I began to see that it made a lot of sense, and got to the point where I finally decided this makes more sense to me than what I used to believe in.
You know, with the past lives, does that drive our thought patterns, our interests, our personality, who we used to be, our hobbies?
Oh, absolutely. I think it affects our life in a lot of different ways and very subtle ways. It's responsible for some of our phobias, plus it's also responsible for some of our affinities. If you have a real love of, say, England or France, that's probably a result of having lived in those countries. Also, by the same token, it affects our professions. I think people that are naturally attracted to being a doctor may have been a doctor in a past life, for example.
Or a patient.
a lot of times, yeah. I also believe it affects our sexuality. I think that one of the possible explanations for homosexuality may be a a gender transfer that hasn't quite completely taken. If you were a opposite gender in a past life and you enjoyed being that gender, it may be difficult to make that transition in this life, which would explain homosexuality.
Well, that's an interesting take. Richard from Oregon wants to know if and how you pass over, you have no memory. Could that affect things? And I guess, why is that? How could some people not have a memory of their past life, even in regression?
Well, I think there's times you could block it. If it was something that you're hiding from yourself in your own psyche, if you go into a regression kind of being afraid of being hypnotized, it's very difficult to hypnotize a person against their will, and they might block it that way. And there's a number of different reasons, but I think most people who go through a regression will probably remember some things. I've witnessed two of them besides having my own, and I've never seen anybody come up with a complete blank for the whole thing.
What are some of your theories on the process of the rebirth and what the soul is attempting to really achieve here through these multiple incarnations?
Well, I think the process itself, in terms of the mechanics, is that what happens when a soul is ready to come back into the flesh, it actually seeks out a developing embryo or a fetus, probably at a very early stage. It knows who the parents are. It knows what the circumstances of the birth are going to be, for the most part, in terms of finances and race and gender and things like that. It makes a decision to enter into that fetus. And it's kind of a progressive thing. As the fetus develops, that soul essentially develops more of a personality within it until it's born.
I always heard sometimes, though, that the soon-to-be human had the right to select its soul. I'm not so sure that's the case. I think you're almost appointed. It's almost like presented to you.
Well, I do think that there is such a thing as spiritual counselors, if you will, that will explain to you what might be the most beneficial direction for you to go. But I also do believe you have free will, and you can decide to ignore them. You can decide to grab the first fetus you find, or you can decide not to come back into the flesh for an extended period of time if you choose to do that, too.
Of these areas that you have investigated, you've always come across people who've talked about karma. You have good karma. You have bad karma. What does that mean?
Well, of course, karma is the idea that for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. So anything bad you do in one life is going to come back at you in the next life. I personally don't believe in karma. I think that there are natural consequences in the things we do, and there's also natural benefits in some of the things we do. But in terms of punishing one personality for the crimes that were committed by a previous personality, to me, is counterproductive. If you can't remember what you're being punished for, there is no value in it. Therefore, I don't really believe in karma as it's taught in Eastern religions.
Why don't all religions agree on reincarnation?
Well, I think that the threat to the Western mindset is that we are unique individual personalities, and if we reincarnate, then I'm not so unique anymore. I'll be replaced by some new personality, and I'll just kind of not be anything. So I think part of it's just the ego. The ego doesn't want to be destroyed or fade into nothingness, even though that's not what it really does, but that's what we sometimes understand is happening with reincarnation. I think that's why we fight it.
Do you think on your next checkout, there's going to be another check-in with reincarnation?
I would imagine so. I can't imagine why I wouldn't keep doing this over and over again until I figure out what I'm supposed to do.
But how long does that take?
Well, I'd imagine if you think about all the different selections you have in your individual life, you know, from this moment on, there's so many different options you have of doing. You have an infinite number of selections that you can make. And that's just one life. So if you come into hundreds and hundreds of different incarnations, you have an infinite number of different choices that can be made in each one of them. So I think that there's never really an end to it because you've never really finished exploring every aspect of existence that there is because there is no end to them.
Yeah, but, you know, with reincarnation, I had Dr. Bruce Goldberg came out with two wild ideas of what I would be in the future. So he goes into the future for reincarnation. Most people go into the past. And some of it, of course, was fun. But, I mean, there has to come a point where it ends, don't you think? It's just you stop continuing, at least?
Well, you may stop coming back into the flesh. You might want to just experience things from the standpoint of pure energy. In my book on ghosts, I point out the existence of something I call extraterrestrials, which are spiritual beings that have never been in the flesh and have always existed in a spiritual state. So there are other options out there where you can cease to do something, or you could go into another planet, for example, or another dimension and just experience things from there.
You do believe, then, that these extra dimensions or extra universes might have an effect on everybody?
Not on those who are outside of those dimensions. I believe that we have a particular dimension that we live in, and we don't really cross into the other ones except perhaps accidentally at some point.
So we're restricted?
Well, confine it as parameters, let's say.
Why?
Well, because if these other dimensions exist, the realities could be so incredibly different than what we experience in this dimension that we wouldn't be able to process that information. We wouldn't be able to make the jump, for example, from this dimension to that and be able to really see the progression, because we're going from apples to oranges. It would be just very difficult for us to retain those lessons. So it's better if we stay in a particular venue. It's kind of like going to college. If you had to change colleges after every semester, it's very difficult to maintain continuity in your education.
Does that explain why some people who seem to be very, disjointed, it could be because of this?
It could be because of that. It could be because they're fairly early in the process and they haven't developed a lot of experiences that they're, in other words, they're a young soul, so to speak, which is why they don't really seem to have a lot of spiritual depth to them.
As opposed to somebody who's an old soul.
Right, someone who's been through multiple incarnations and is retaining those on a spiritual level.
Interesting, from Rick in San Diego. So what happens to souls if we blow our world up with nuclear weapons? What happens if the world physically ends?
Well, if you believe that there is sentient life throughout the universe, and throughout our own Milky Way, even when you confine it to there, these souls would just simply move on to another format that would allow them to experience physicality, whether it's on this planet or another planet, is irrelevant. The point is, there's no such thing as death. All you can do is transfer from one condition to another, and that's true with the planet. Even if the planet was atomized, it's only simply returned back to energy. But the essence of this planet, the essence of the human soul, goes on forever.
So that is within the confines where you said they don't move out of their own, basically, jurisdiction. That's still acceptable?
Right. I think that the things that exist within our particular dimension of understanding of our universe continues to move through that process, but other dimensions could have an entirely different process that they go through.
That is something. In all your experiences with the reincarnation especially, other than the story about the USS Stark, in that case, anything else come to mind?
Oh, the shark? That story? Well, I've seen a couple of different ones. I haven't found one as detailed, I thought, as the story of the shark that I have in my book. The Bridie Murphy one would be a second, and the little boy that you mentioned earlier with the airplane. A number of stories that Dr. Stevenson had with children with past life memories who were not hypnotized, but they remembered these stories spontaneously, are also really interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to open up the phone lines and give people an opportunity to talk with you both about ghosts and of reincarnation. And they both cross over. They're both the same somehow.
Right.
They have those similarities. Where do you go next with all this? What kind of research do you continue to do?
Well, I'm going to continue to develop myself spiritually, try to understand what all of this means and what it all is heading towards. I think that's a lifetime process, and of which ghosts and reincarnation have just been one part of my understanding of the universe on a larger scale.
Do you find yourself to be an enlightened person, Jeff?
That's a really scary question. I find myself to be a curious person. I suppose if you decide you're enlightened, that probably is a sign that you have a long ways to go. So I try to just think of myself as someone who is open to what God wants to show me and is eager to learn.
Well, you know, you continue hearing stories about famous people who die, and you always wonder if they're going to be reincarnated again. I had an interview a couple weeks ago with a woman who claimed to have been the reincarnated version of Marilyn Monroe. She sounded like her, but who knows? How do you verify that somebody's not just making something up?
Well, if she knew some things about Marilyn Monroe, that wouldn't be accessible to the public.
All right, but what if she didn't know obvious things? Like she didn't know, you know, about, you know, where the I guess cremated remains were, for example.
Well,
don't you think that if you were, you would?
Not necessarily. I noticed in my own past life regression is that you don't have access to every piece of information about that past life. It's curious. It's like watching someone else's life on a movie. You have an idea of what's going on, but it's sometimes the specifics can be lost. However, I would say that there are people out there with fantasy-prone personalities who like to imagine themselves having, you know, being Elvis or Marilyn Monroe or whatever, and you do have to take those people into account and say, well, that's fine. But I would say if she could come up with some very specific information about Marilyn Monroe that could only be verified maybe by a family or friend who knew her, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I guess it was. She was not able to do that.
Right.
But, you know, people make claims.
Well, you know, sometimes you want to bring a little color into your life, and so you might decide you're this or that. And there's nothing really wrong with that as long as you're not hurting anybody. But recognize the fact that just because there are people who are making stuff up or fantasizing doesn't mean that there's not a truth or a reality behind all of it.
Well, she convinced a Los Angeles psychiatrist that she was the reincarnated Marilyn Monroe.
Well, that's a pretty good try. I wonder if she looks like her.
Yeah, a little bit. I would think so. I mean, not identical, but there are some similarities there.
The only thing I'm thinking is if Marilyn Monroe reincarnated, you know, she'd already lived that life as Marilyn Monroe. She would want, I would think, to try something else. You know, why, you know, do the same thing over and over again when there's so many other things that you could do with your life?
Hey, once you're Marilyn Monroe, why try anything else?
Well, you know, maybe you want to be Demi Moore next time. I don't know.
Well, we'll be back with your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.